It's been on my heart for a while. Not necessarily this message, but what's been going on in our church, as far as just seems like sickness has come and illnesses have been dominant in our church. Just been overwhelming, really. Just Daniel, some just breathtaking sometimes. Just like, wow, just a setback, you know. And so I had been praying about some things, and this got some confirmation this past Wednesday night as some of us were standing around here after a wonderful presence of the Lord was in the house, and just began to talk about things that were going on and how we need to anoint our church. And I want to teach you about anointing, how to anoint. I want to show you some things. Because the first thing that I want to know when we do something, is it biblical? Can I find reference to it in the Bible? That's what I need to know. Whether, as I said in our staff meeting, whether grandma taught it and you bought it, that doesn't mean anything to me. Does God put an okay on it? That's what I want to know. Now, I was raised in this where I'm telling you what, I mean, you didn't touch the top of the doors or anything else, unless you got greasy. You know what I'm saying? My mom anointed everything. You know, she anointed you. You'd wake up with grease on your head. You know what I'm trying to think? I mean, she just leave me in the night. She anointed everything. She was that kind of person. And so I grew up in it, didn't think much about it. I just knew if mom did, it had to be biblical. But I never asked her, well, was that in the Bible? And so as I began to study some things today, I learned a lot. That I learned that God put a stamp of approval on anointing way before he ever established Israel. Amen. I didn't know that. He did. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. But to anoint simply means it's a verb, and it simply means to smear or rub as in a religious ceremony. Just as we anoint some with oil, we'll have an anointing service. You're sick, you know. We're going to talk about from Old Testament to New Testament. We put a little oil on you. We'll rub it on you. You know, it's symbolic. There's nothing in the oil. You can use motor oil. We happen to use olive oil or some form thereof, but it's symbolic. There's nothing in the oil. But God uses symbolism and types and shadows throughout the whole Bible. So when you see a thread or something happening, you know that God's approval is on that. He's okay with that. And so, again, to anoint simply means to put on, to smear, to rub. So if I was to get Jason to come out, just rub it on him. That would be an anointing, okay? Now, there's types of anointing. We'll talk about this. This may go for a few weeks. I don't know. But the thing we want to know about today is, can you anoint a place? Is it biblical to anoint your home? Is it biblical to anoint an inanimate object? That's what I want to know first. Well, I'm going to put you at ease. It is. And I'm going to show you in Scripture where you can anoint a thing, a place, and it's anointed, okay? So if you have your Bibles, if you will go all the way back to Genesis chapter 28, Genesis 28, that's the first book of the Bible. If you're not familiar with reading your Bible just yet, that's the very first book of the Bible. Some good stuff in there, by the way. If you hadn't been reading it, you ought to read it some. Genesis chapter 28, God's called Jacob to a place. That's where we're starting, and it says in verse 10, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went down toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. What he just done, he had a rock for a pillow. Doesn't sound very comfortable to me. I like my pillow. I mean, literally my pillow. The one you buy, it says my pillow. How many of you got one of those pillows? Glory to God in the highest. I mean, praise God for the man who come up with my pillow. Do you hear me? My wife doesn't like her pillow. You don't like it either? Well, I'm receiving the my pillows, and you can bless the priest here. I just love those pillows. They're just like, wow. And so when I read this, I thought, well, man, he hadn't experienced the my pillow yet. I mean, come on, dude. But he takes this rock that was already there, and he puts it there, and he goes to lays down, and he goes to sleep. And in verse 12, he says, then he dreamed and beheld a ladder. Many of you know this story as Jacob's ladder. And a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to the heaven and the earth, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, this is prior to Israel coming together. I want you to know that God puts an approval on anointing. He had that in mind when he was setting up the children of Israel, the nation. This is how far this goes back. So I love it because it's in Genesis. It's in the beginning here. And it says in verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this place. See, that lets us know that they hadn't established it. He's actually in the place where they're going to return to. And God says, I'm going to bring you back here. This is cool now. Watch this. And he says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Boy, I could preach for a month right there. God is in the place and we don't know it. God's where you are and you don't know it. One of the names of God is that he is already there. We show up a lot of times thinking God's not there and God's already there. God is a God that's going where you, or that is already where you are going. He's a God that we should take note of. And Jacob, the patriarch, said, surely God is in this place and we don't know it. How many times do we go through the motions and say we're Christians and we don't even recognize, we don't call on the power of God to do what's necessary in lives? We say, well, that's old, that's old timey, that's old fashioned. I don't know if we pray for people anymore. Should we anoint them with oil? Isn't that a little out there, preacher? Depends on how sick you are, I guess. Look, if I'm sick enough, you dump the bucket on me. If that works, hey, if it don't, we ain't lost nothing. I can take a shower. Amen? Verse 17 says, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I read that and said, well, there's no gate there. There's no house there. You're laying outside and you got a rock for a pillow. There's no house there. He is talking about things that are to come. If you do a lot of research, this is probably very close to where the house would be built. This is definitely a place where when the temporary temple passed through, definitely that we know for sure. And he was thinking prophetically about God moving on something he has not seen yet. This is an introduction of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Faith wasn't, in this time, yes, he introduced faith, but faith really comes into play in the New Testament. But it's all through the Bible. And by faith, he was saying, this is a house where God's going to abide, where God's power and his spirit will abide. Yet there's no house. That also tells us that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that you are the house, a temple of the Lord's, what the Bible says you are. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. He abides in you. And where you are, the Spirit of God ought to be exemplified. The Spirit of God ought to be shown to the world. What is God's Spirit? It's everything that he is. It's everything that makes up God. We're studying the names of God. If you want to know more about that, you have to come on Wednesdays. Amen? Amen. We'll get deeper into that later. Verse 18, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took a stone and took the stone. Took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar. Not a pillow, but a pillar. As a landmark, if you will. And poured oil on top of it. That's the first time you see in this where there was a mention that of an inanimate object where it's anointed. He poured oil on a rock. Now we look at that and they say, he's weirdo. They go to that weird church. They anoint with oil. Was Jacob weird? Did God say, man, you're a weirdo, Jacob. I'm not going to use you. Absolutely not. Because there was a, I don't know, 12 or so sons came out of that. He kept using him. He hadn't had him yet. And God said, I'll use you. He reminded him of the covenant. Remember Yahweh, Jehovah, covenant God? Not only is a covenant to Abraham, but to Jacob and Isaac. He's a covenant. He's a covenant God. And when Jacob anointed a rock, just a rock, it wasn't sent from heaven. It wasn't some a rock that God said, oh, let's place it in Israel. There's a rock. And Jacob anointed the rock and said, God's here. What was he establishing? Well, he set up a pillar. When they would set up stones or pillars in that day and time, that signified, that had some significance, and they would set up rocks, as you know, like when they crossed over the Jordan. He instructed Joshua to take 12 stones from the river and stack them up. And he said, well, what for? He said, so when your children's children come by and they see these, they can be reminded of what I have done. See, I think a lot of times the church needs to be reminded of what God's already done in your life. One of the greatest sayings I've ever heard was, I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know, my biggest problem is I've never gotten over getting saved. He was still excited about it. Some of us need to get back to the list. Well, we're excited about getting that we've been saved. We get on fire again for God. Be excited that God loves you. God still wants to use you. We've forgotten that we've gotten this rut. And so that was the significance of anointing this rock and putting up a pillar. He says in verse 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This is not a tithing message, although it could be. Think about it. He takes a stone. An ordinary stone, anoints it, sets it up as a memorial, a pillar, and calls it God's house. And said, if God's Spirit will go with me, I'll come back here. If God's Spirit will go with me, I'll come back to this place and I'll do great things. What's happened to the church? We set up beautiful buildings, put up steeples, put up signage, put it, all this stuff out there. And yet we're powerless. Sickness rages. People are still addicted to this, that, and the other. Strongholds, bondages, they're everywhere. And we said, the Bible says that we serve a God that breaks strongholds. That we serve a God that is a deliverer of those things. Yeah, surely God is in the place and we don't even know it. So the next time we see a type of anointing is in Exodus chapter 12, next book over. Israel's been established at this time. They've grown and grown, and we're at the last. What I'm going to talk about is the last of the 10 plagues, which is death. And we find in Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, he's instituted the Passover supper. That's another message. It's the lamb, you know, that was to be slain at night. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 says, and this is God speaking, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. In other words, the Passover supper, the Passover lamb, this is where you get anointing. This is a type of anointing. You're anointing with the blood of Jesus. How many of you know that the blood of Jesus is all you need? The blood of Jesus is more powerful than the oil. Come on, somebody. Oil is definitely symbolic. The blood of Jesus in this is somewhat symbolic, but it shows God when he was to pass over what was claimed. Let's look at verse 13, Exodus 12, 13. Now the blood shall be a sign. Come on, somebody. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. This is our house. The church is our house. Where you live is your house. It's okay for you to anoint your doorpost. Man, I'm getting some weird looks today. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. God, if you go back and read, there's 10 plagues, and this is the where he's going to kill all the firstborn. And he says, but if I see the blood, the covenant sign, I'm a covenant God, and this is part of the contract. If I see the blood on the doorpost and across the lintel of the top post, if I see that, I know that you're mine, that you've been sealed. That I know that you have come in a covenant with me. And when you come in covenant with me, we have an agreement, and the plague will not come to your house, it'll pass over. Woo! When we anoint something with oil, because we don't have to go kill something today. Amen. Come on, you'd look real weird with blood on your doorpost. First person show up would probably be the police. What's going on here? First thing, police would probably ask, are you Pentecostal? Here's the cool thing. God's not Pentecostal. God's not Baptist. God's not Methodist. God's not anything. He's God. I'm going to give you a little insight. You know why there's different denominations? Because crazy people are involved in God's plan. I think denominations are of the devil. Why you say that, Pastor? Oh, because the reason that this denomination, because you can't agree on anything. And you say, well, I don't like this. I'm going to start my own. I don't like that. I'm going to start my own. Come on. You think about that just a minute. I don't like the way you do that over, so that must not be biblical. I'll start my own little clique. And these cliques have grown. That's a new Hebrew word. Baloney. So God also, it's also biblical that you can anoint your home. He anointed. That's what does anoint mean? Remember? Smear or rub. That they were to take hyssop, a type of thing, and splash it on there, on their doorposts. Smear or rub. You could, either way. Smear or rub. That's what they were anointing the house with blood. Now Jacob anointed a rock with oil. Thank God we don't have to have blood. I don't want your blood on me. I don't want you to say, we're going to have an anointing service with blood today. I'm out, man. I'm telling you, I'm gone. I'm sorry. I'm checking out on you. I'm okay with oil. It'll wash off. I don't know what you... Anyway, I mean, let me move on. Do you know Jesus instructs us to anoint? If you're thinking, well, that's Old Testament, let's jump to New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, this is one of the first accounts we hear of anointing in the New Testament. And he instructs his disciples, you are and I are disciples, to anoint. He had a meeting, committee meeting, before he sent the disciples out. And he said, guys, here's what's going to happen. You're going to pray for the sick, and you're going to perform signs, miracles, wonders, all that stuff, you know. And he said, but what do you need to do? Now, I'm going to need you to anoint the sick folk. You know, Jesus had the committee meetings. Well, he had to. How do you know the 12 knew what to do? And I just believe that Jesus was, he was the anointed one, but I believe he anointed too. Watch this in Mark chapter 6, verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. But you know, I'm ahead of myself, so let me go to 13. So I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. I'll tell you a story in Cali. It's exciting here. Mark 16:13, guys. I'm sorry, back here. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. New Testament. Isn't it amazing how we break up Old Testament and New Testament? Say, well, one's God and one's not. God did this here and God doesn't do it here. Well, what do you do with the scripture? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How does that fit into the dynamics of your thoughts? We even take the New Testament and break it up into two sections. Oh, that was for them right there, and now this is different. I hear people say, well, now, preacher, that was for them back then. That was for that time. Why about a question? Are you a disciple of Christ? Okay, let's start. Are you a disciple of Christ? If you're a disciple of Christ, they were sick folk back then, are there sick folk now? And if you were to follow what Christ suggests us do, it tells us to do, he says, you go do this, and you anoint with oil. Shouldn't we do that today?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go further in that in just a minute. So the disciples were instructed to anoint the sick. Jesus instructs us to anoint yourself. Did you know that? You can get up in the morning, just like some of you beautiful ladies, you can put on that powder and paint. Heard Adrian Rogers say, powder and paint makes a woman something she ain't. It just takes a minute to get across there. None of you men were like, y'all were like, man, that's on the inside, you were dying, and your wife said, and you didn't say a word. You just. Matthew 6:17 says, but when you fast, not the preacher, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teachers, but when you fast. Well, that's something we've gotten away from in the church. Fast. I'm like one preacher says, I can look around and see most of us got some. We can live off the land a while. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm with you. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. You can anoint you. You can anoint your children. You can anoint your husband or wife if she'll let you, or he'll let you if she'll stand still long enough. It's biblical to anoint, is what I'm trying to drive home today. It is so biblical, and God's okay with anointing. What would you anoint with? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, he gives this great big description on how to make the oil from olive oil and the spices and stuff that go into it for the anointing. Do you know he anointed Aaron? He anointed Aaron. Matter of fact, it ran down his beard. I mean, they had a bucket of it, is what I'm saying. Ran all down his beard and dripped off of his clothes. That's more like a bath anointing. But he was anointed. King David was anointed. Jesse's son, Samuel, took a horn of oil. I don't know how big the horn was, but I mean, if you've ever seen a hollowed out horn this big, it'll hold a quart or two. Maybe Just maybe that anointing had something to do with their great power and their great works that they were able to accomplish through history that we get to read. Maybe that anointing is more important than we believe. Maybe that anointing had more power associated with it than you can ever dream of. Because I can tell you today, as a whole, the church is powerless. As a whole. I'm not saying individually. I'm not saying this group. I'm saying as a whole. The church is powerless. We can't even get people to go out and vote biblical values. We sure ain't going to get to put oil on you. Hallelujah. Preacher, you're doing a good job. Well, thank you. Thank you. The church, you and I, the people, we are instructed by God to anoint the sick. Flip with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. If occasionally someone comes and they're okay with it and they're suffering, is that what it says? You got to get the first part of this. It says, if anyone among you is suffering, or is anyone among you suffering, is a question, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Is anybody sick? Do you get sick? Have you been sick? I am not against this whatsoever. My dear friend, the doctor, sitting right here. He didn't say go to the doctor first. I'm not against it. Look, I use them. Hallelujah. I believe in them. Oh, he could have. Luke was a physician. You know, one of the 12. He could have said, hey, if you're sick, holler at Luke. He's got an office set up down there, and he takes, Medicaid and Medicare. Come on. And you run by there and he'll give you some medicine. He says, no, there's something powerful about the anointing of God. There's something powerful about an anointing. It is so powerful that it heals the sick, according to Scripture. It is so powerful that it sets up a boundary of God's Spirit to dwell, according to what we read in Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob anointed the rock. Anointing has specific power, specific realms that it operates in, okay? It says anointing. It says, let him call for the elders of the church, verse 14, James 5, 14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him, anointing him, smearing on him the oil, him with oil in the name of the Lord. There's the power. You anoint in the name. The name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? Come Wednesday, we're studying those names. Am I plugging too much for Wednesday? What is the name of the Lord? There's 32 names of God that we can say for sure that in the Bible, there's 32 names associated with God. And in those names, their names are significant. Names are really significant in Bible times, and they're significant now. You sure don't want to call your kid Ichabod. Amen. Some of y'all get that later. Names are sufficient. So when God says, when he says like Jehovah Jireh, he is a provider. Jehovah Rapha, he's a healer. Jehovah Nisi, he's a banner. Jehovah's a covenant. I'm making a covenant with you. And you put Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah or Yahweh, which is the same word. That means, okay, he's a covenant God. And then you put a singular name with that, like Jireh means provider. That's all it means, just provider. You couple that. Now you got a covenant God that provides. So when you come in a covenant with him, he's a provider. When you put a Jehovah Yahweh as a covenant, and you put that word Rapha, he's now you're in covenant with a healer. He's a deliverer. He's one who sets you free. He breaks strongholds. There's many names of God, and they're significant. God is what his name is. When Jason says, when he calls my name, he knows that my beautiful face pops up in his memory. Right there, bam, right there. Just, man, I got a great looking pastor. Glory to God. He's got bald headed like me. Just, man. But if he was calling me because he needed me to do something, and he knew I could perform that, he knew I could help do that, whatever it is, if it's crawl under your house and fix your plumbing or whatever, he knew I had the knowledge, my name would come to him and he'd say, well, Marty knows how to do that. He can do that. It's in my name. Do you understand? It's what I can do. And it's associated with Marty, my name. I can actually do that. I won't do it for you, okay? Do your own plumbing. When you call on God, if you know his name, you know that God can. You're going into covenant. He knows me. I'm his friend. He knows it. If I can, I will come help him. At least stand outside and say, you ought to cut that right there and put this piece in there. Do that. Amen. You know, God does that to you sometimes. See, we call on God. We want God to do everything. We don't do anything. We want God to fix it, and we'll go about our way. Lord, I don't want to be inconvenienced, but God, this thing's bothering me. Could you come fix it? Verse 14, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, in verse 15, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. Save is not in the necessary term of saving from sins. It just means save. It means to heal, to deliver. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. There's the so-so part. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I really think that is key. I think that we miss a lot when we don't confess what we have going on in our lives to the Lord and saying, Lord, I've got some unforgiveness. I've got some hurt. I've got some pains. I've got some, hey, I got a lying tongue. I got ABC. You go through your list. I got mine, okay? Let's read it. Confess your trespasses, those things that you've trespassed against God with, those things that he's not okay with. And pray for one another that you may be healed. I think so many times, you know, we know in 1 Peter, I think it's 5, men, our prayers can be hindered on the way we treat our wives. Uh-oh. Maybe if we treated our wives differently. Men, maybe our prayers would be answered more readily. He says, treat your wives like I treat the church, and I'm paraphrasing, like I would treat the church, that your prayers may not be hindered. I don't need anything. I got enough stuff hindering my prayers. Come on, somebody. I got enough trespasses, enough guilt, enough this, enough that. I don't need anything else. Surely I can fix that. Y'all not picking up what I'm laying down today. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. What kind of prayer? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Not a heathen. A righteous man. The effective, fervent prayer. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. It's something that you have a great desire for. And you know that God can. I think so many times we go to God in prayer with the idea, well, I don't know if you really will. That's not what we're instructed to do. The Bible says, when you pray, believe. Whether he does or not is not my problem. See, we want to get ourselves in, and when we pray for someone, we're not really sure, so we're not going to really step out on a limb. So what we're saying is, let's just pray. And hopefully God will. I think he can. I kind of hope he does. But I'm just not sure. Well, probably doubt is overriding any belief in your heart. It's time that the church say, where am I at with God, so that when I pray and when I anoint things, stuff happens. How many of you have had this week, just this week, you can raise your hand if you would like. How many have had people call you or text you or you run into them, ask you to pray for something in their life? Probably everybody in the room. Will you pray for me about in the list? My next deal is this. Don't raise your hands here. How many of you actually done it? Don't raise your hands, man. You're making the rest of us look bad. How many of you, it's just a test. It's your test. So I don't want you to raise your hands. You might fail. I fail sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. How many of you have had an effective, fervent prayer for that request? I'm talking about just like it was your own kid, your own husband, your own wife, your own mom or dad. I'm talking about one of those prayers. So many times we take prayer, one of the greatest tools God has given us, and it's just nonchalantly, hey, Ralph, pray for me. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Next week I go to Ralph and say, Ralph, you been praying for me about something? He said, huh? I'm not saying Ralph would do that. I'm picking on Ralph. Ralph, my buddy. But I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot. Why don't we pray for things sometimes over and over and over that we as believers should have power through prayer? You and I don't have any power except through prayer. God has all the power. Don't get your role mixed up. Stay in your lane. Where is it that when we reach the throne of God, where is it that we wake up like Jacob and say, surely the presence of God, the Lord, is in this place, and I didn't even know it. We're walking around as Christians and we don't know what we have available to us as Christians. Surely God is in your temple and you don't even know it. Think about that just a little bit. So how does that tie into anointing? I don't know if it does or not. It just came to my heart. So anointing. We're going to do something totally different today. We're going to anoint our church. You know it's biblical. I taught you that this morning. You know it's just a building. There's no one to rock. As a matter of fact, it's a bunch of rocks put together, really. So we know we can do that biblically. We know that it's okay to anoint. We know that it's okay to anoint with oil because we read that. By the way, I didn't go to Israel and I don't have some special oil and I didn't go make the spices up. We got ours at Sullivan's. Come on, somebody. Because there's nothing, it's not in the oil, it's in the symbolic, it's in faith in Christ that these things can be done, and it sets a perimeter. Anointing sets a perimeter. He told Jacob, wherever your foot trods when you walk across, that's yours. You claim it. It's yours, okay? I'm not into name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I hate that, okay? Matter of fact, I think it's unbiblical. But when God says to put a parameter, put a hedge about, or God instructs that we can, we ought to do that. How many of you have ever prayed for your kids? Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? Lord, protect them, keep them, put a hedge about them. I have many times. I do that for me now. What you're doing, you're setting up a parameter, and by prayer, you're letting the devil know, the enemy of your soul, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, you're letting him know, hey, wait a minute, there's a parameter. Matter of fact, God even says this, that he would set up angels around you like a hedge. So we should, as a church body, as individuals, understand that God is a protector. Could we pull up Psalms 91, kind of quick, Willem. Just Psalms 91. How many of you ever read Psalms 91? Psalms 91 is often when someone sends something, they'll put Psalms 91 at the bottom of a text or something. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. What's he saying? Go to the next verse, please, if you don't mind. Is it? And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot on a stone. That. Two. And I will say, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. He's your fortress. He's your refuge. He is, what is a refuge? It's the place that you run to, and you know that refuge means I am protected here. We have this crazy idea of sanctuary cities in America, some nut come up with in Jesus' name, that says we're going to protect illegal immigrants and we're going to protect criminals in sanctuary cities. Well, that's a splendid idea, says nobody. God says, I have a sanctuary, a city set up, a refuge, if you will, of my protection. But you have to run into it. Well, we can't get to heaven. We don't have the physical temple that they used to have. But what we do have is we have a weapon. We have a way called anointing. When you can anoint things that surrounds you, that sets up a mark, says this is God's territory. This is God's property. God's going to be over this. So why would we not want God to be in charge of our stuff, our be our perimeter, if you will? Well, we would. I hope. Hope you would. So what we're going to do today, this morning, is, man, we just love to do stuff around here just impromptu. I mean, golly. And it just puts everybody in leadership on edge when you know, it's like they're just like, wow, what are we going to do, you know? It's not in a good way either. Some of you are nervous right now. Some of you are so nervous, oh, God, I hope he don't call on me to anoint anything. Man, if y'all could see faces from where I see them, it's like, man, I didn't even pray this week. Oh, Lord, some of you are praying right now. Oh, Lord, just help me, cleanse me. Ralph's leaving. Ralph said, I'm gone, baby, I'm gone. I ain't prayed this week, I'm gone. Marcia, do you have our stuff? I've asked Marcia to help me and stuff. And man, this is so awesome. I'm telling you, we went out on a limb here. I mean, we have went and bought some of the finest anointing tools ever. And we have broken out the silver and the gold. This is 50 cents. It's a baby bottle thing that they sippy cup. Works pretty good, though. Doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got squeezed on a little bit, but it come on out. Because what we want to do, this is what I want to do. We've had so much sickness associated with our church. Can you help me name some of them that attend this church? Let's just start with David Dotson, one of our deacons. Cancer. Now, and I'm not saying, when I say, I'm just calling out what's being diagnosed. I'm not saying they have it, okay? I'm not denying that the doctor's report either. So we have David. We have Dale. We have Peggy. Jennifer. Arvell. Pam. RT, that's right. More specifically right now that's current. Jennifer, we got Jennifer. Liz, amen. He's sick, and yeah. Amen. You see how that's hitting our church? Man, it hits hard. I don't know if the other church experienced it or not. I don't go to that church. I go to this church. I want to shepherd this church. I want to pull us into where I truly believe that God can protect and heal us and keep us is what I want to do. Now, I want you to know this. Please understand me. Every person that's ever been healed has died. Think about that. Every person that has ever been healed of any sickness has died. Come on. You can be healed and still die. Doesn't mean you're immortal. It means you're not sick anymore for that, but you're going to die. The Bible says you, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you will die. I'm not trying to preach some gospel that says, oh, we go there, we're going to be great, we're always going to be in hell. No. I'm just saying that we ought to start exercising some of the authority that God has placed within us as the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what we're going to do today is I simply want, we have some exterior doors. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're just going to do down here right now, just this up in this main sanctuary and in my office, okay? Lord Jesus, we need it in my office. Hallelujah. Amen. And the gate, we'll do it again. Everybody comes through the gate. That's right. So look, this is symbolic. This is just, it's just symbolic. There's nothing in the oil. It's, God, we know that you can. Lord, we understand that by anointing you, your attention has been gotten. 2 Chronicles 7:15, after the consecration of the temple, he spoke to Solomon and he said, my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayers made in this place. That's what the Bible says. After a consecration, a setting apart, oh, they anointed. Don't forget that. They anointed like, oh, get out. 122,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep were sacrificed, and they went through the whole process of anointing. So that's all we're going to do today, okay? So here's what we're going to do, because I know some of you are just like, oh, my gosh, this is so out there. So here's what we're going to do. Hunter, will you put on some music for me? Could you do something like that? See, he loves it when I just... See, here's what I want to do. Doesn't mean if you want to, if you don't want to participate, we're not asking you to participate by any means whatsoever. You say, I don't want to do this. If you want to, I'm going to anoint some doors and we're going to go out. And I would like for my deacons, if you could, Mike, if you could, you make your way down, and my other deacon over here, just back here at the back somewhere. RT, would you be back there at the back? And some of you, I want some of my men too. Will you, Kevin, will you step back there at the back? Now, anybody can do. I want some of my men as well, because men are the priests. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And so we're going to anoint. And I want you to. You can sit here and visit. You can talk. It's okay. God's okay with you. You can sit here and talk. You can have a conversation. Where are you going to go to lunch? Doesn't matter. But if you want to participate, look, we're going to do each door. There's some doors back here. We want people at each door. You can grab one of these things. You do have to squeeze on a little bit, but it comes right on out, I promise. We're going to do just what they did with the blood. We're going to put it on each doorpost. Look, we ain't got a drench. We're not painting it. Come on, somebody. God, it's okay. This is kind of a holy moment, but God's okay. He's funny. Just put some on your finger. If two or three people want to, that's all right. Just put some over there. Put some over the door top. We want to do inside and out. Inside and out. See, that's exactly right. When you come in, and when you go out, when you come in, hey, man, this place is consecrated. Oh, amen, praise God. But when you leave this place, you leave with an anointing, is what I'm saying. When you come in the gate, you'll come into an anointing. But when you leave the gate, you'll leave under an anointing. Amen? I feel the Holy Ghost. And so I want you to participate. Here's the next challenge that I want you to do, because some of you are going to slip out on me, and that's okay. I'm not beating anybody up. You don't want to participate. That's fine. No problem. But here's my next challenge to you. Will you go home and prayerfully consider anointing your home? Will you prayerfully consider, Lord, do I need to anoint my home? Will you do that? Just ask the Lord what he says about it. Lord, my husband's going to think I'm weird. My wife will think I'm weird. They already think you're weird. You've been married to him for a few weeks, a few months, a few years. You're weird, okay? That's why they married you, because you're weird. Anoint. It's more than your emotions. It's more than, I don't know if I'm comfortable. You ought to be me today. Come on, somebody. You ought to be me today. Because most of you didn't come from a background like I came from. And I know that. Some of you did. I just believe as your pastor, as your shepherd, we need to do everything we can to protect our house and the sheep that are here. Amen? So if you want to, do we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I need a couple of more men. That I got 7 places. I want a man in each one. But there you go, Jeffrey. And look here, Jason. Will you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here's some right here. God's so looking at this and saying, "Wow, they're using sippy cups." See, I don't look at God like I look at God. God's this awesome God. He's reverent. I love him and all that. See, and I fear the Lord and all that, but he's my friend. You need 2 more? Okay, all right. Yeah, I got one right here. I got some. And so if you want to do that right now, you can make your way out of the balcony. You can just go. It doesn't matter what door. You can, like I said, I have an office door. Don't forget my door. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be up at the front of these doors because I know where most people come through, and this is what I want to do as a shepherd. But if you want to, if you will, ladies, this is for everybody now. If you want to go, young folks, you can do that too. I want you to go and just go to a door. There's 7 doors, okay? So there ought to be room enough for everybody. We're going to do the inside and out, okay? And if you want to visit, that's fine. If you want to pray, that's absolutely fine. We're going to have the music on here, and then we're going to be back in there in just a minute. I'm going to dismiss you. And so if you need to leave, you go right ahead and you go on and leave. That's fine. There's no problem. We're just praying for God's protection, God's covering, God's anointing, God's power to heal when people come in this building. That's what we're going to be praying for today, okay? All right. So if you want to do that, you can visit. You can go with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
out of here.
I'm happy to let you know.
Hallelujah. You just bring them right back up here. I know some of them are still praying, and that's okay. Brother RT told me, said, I got your office going in and coming out, and Scotty got it, and there's two or more people back there. I guess they think I need it a lot. Come on, somebody, and I do. Amen. My wife probably needs to be anointed more than me because she has to live with me. Hey, thank y'all. I'm telling you, it is surely... Yes, sir.
This is not a great religious revelation for me, but I thought about it in the Passover, where they take the blood and they put it on the doorposts and mantle. They're making, and I've never seen or heard this before, they're making the Hebrew letter Chai, and that means life.
Come on. That is so cool.
I think it's cool.
That is really cool. So, hey, this is pretty cool. You got to hear this. Hey, I need a microphone. I got to have a microphone. You got to say, no, I want you to say it. This is cool. Put you to work, brother. Come here. You're getting involved. Thank you, sir. Hey, this is, of course, most of you know Dr. Russell. He's a retiring medical doctor in somewhere in that range. And, of course, he knows a lot of stuff about Hebrew. He studied Hebrew and different things, right, and all that over in Israel. So you may have to spin it around. We're going to see. Hunter, if I show you this picture, can you put it up there? If I put it in front of the camera, how does that work? Yes. Am I asking you to do something you can't do? So do you have this in your head, don't you? This is pretty cool. Wherever, how you tell me, you're the media guy. You don't mean it. David, hide your face and turn around and hold that up. No, you got to stand up. So, can we? No, it's not. It's not 17. Can you? I want to be aware everybody can see it. I love doing this stuff like this right here. It just puts it, boy, they're on edge. And I'm a planner. Imagine that. It's because I'm big. This is pretty cool now, I'm telling you. This is unplanned too. Did it work? Oh, thank you, sir. I'll just need your, I need your social security number. We'll put you on the payroll. Just dependents and all that stuff, address, we send you. Why do I look blurry? What I'd like to know is why I'm here right by you and you're not in the pictures. That's really what's got me going. Oh, I knew Hunter could do it. Amen. So go ahead. Now, you studied how long over in Israel?
Altogether, many, many months.
Months. And so we're talking about someone who knows language there and knows this what's happening there. Obviously, some of our visitors don't know, but you help us teach on things about Israel. So, and where did you, what did this come to you? I mean, how did...
Yeah. Came to me as the Hebrews were instructed to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the doorway when everything's just going really bad. You know, the firstborn of the Egyptians are dying and people are screaming and all that. And the angel of death is coming over to take care of things that are not of God. And so it just came to me as
It's in the back of the throat, isn't it? That. So that's not a 17. That's a actual symbol, okay, which is a Hebrew symbol. Amen, amen. And the Bible teaches that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Wow, amen. Amen, thank you for sharing that. See, that's what you get when you get around smart people. They know things like that. Let me bless you before we go. I'm believing for, you say, well, Pastor, this didn't mean much to me. Just hang tight. I pray a lot of times and nothing happens right then. But I keep praying and things happen. I'm believing for God to do things in this house. I believe this house is going to be a house of prayer. I believe God's eyes are going to be open to what we pray. And I believe that God's going to be attentive to the prayers we pray in this place. That's what I believe. That's what, there it is right up there. So that's what I believe. And you believe with me. And let's see what God's going to do. God called this house 13 plus years ago. First time in June the 2nd of 2011, I had an evangelist come here and he gave us a prophetic word. I hadn't seen it come to pass just yet. I've seen some things happen. But he said this house would be a beacon and a lighthouse for all to see. They're going to come. What do you do with those things? I studied this for a long time. What is a lighthouse? Lighthouses usually are on the coastlines, and they brought safety and peace and comfort to the ships. They knew how far, they were warnings. They knew how far you could get to with inland. They knew where the coast were. It brought peace and safety. But what is a beacon? A beacon was also a warning light. Beacons are on top of towers, and they flash. They warn airplanes of a danger and stuff. But they let you know that there's something there. And that's what I believe about this house, that God's saying there's something there. We'll warn you about your sin. Don't worry about that part. I got that down pretty good. I'll warn you about your sin. I'll tell you that you're sinning. I ain't got no problem doing that. I love you because that's why I don't have any problem doing it. But I'm looking for this place to be a lighthouse, a refuge, where people can come in and be set free, to be delivered. Relationships can be restored. Marriages can be restored. I mean, those type things. That's what I'm after. Let's make some disciples. Let's win some souls. Amen. Amen. Let me bless you. Father, I bless your people. Lord, we ask that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man. Lord, that prosperity increases, job promotions, raises would come our way. And Lord, most importantly today, we ask, Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop. Lord, in these times that are tumultuous, that peace would rest over every rooftop, so that when we lay down today or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. We ask this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen.